Imagine jumping off a 100-foot cliff, landing a perfect double backflip on a skateboard, or free climbing a 2,000-foot rock face without ropes. These seemingly superhuman feats have become increasingly common over the past 3 decades, not because humans evolved physically, but because athletes discovered a special mental state called flow. This phenomenon has propelled action sports athletes to redefine what's humanly possible, breaking barriers at an unprecedented rate. Flow represents our most efficient path to mastery, creativity, and deep satisfaction, what psychologists call our optimal state of consciousness. When we enter flow, action and awareness merge, time slows down, and performance soars to extraordinary levels. For extreme athletes, this isn't just about seeking thrills. They've become accidental pioneers of human potential who've cracked the code to extraordinary performance through a simple ultimatum: flow or die. In 1993, 24-year-old skier Shane McConkie attempted a double backflip off a 40-foot cliff, unheard of at the time, and crashed. Discouraged from trying again, he hiked back up and launched himself wearing nothing but ski boots, executing a giant naked spread eagle. The filmmaker's assessment? It was fucking genius. This moment marked the beginning of a revolution in human performance. While traditional sports have implemented safety rules, action sports have moved in the opposite direction. Platform diving took over a century to progress from a double front somersault to a reverse 4.5. Meanwhile, big air skiing evolved from a switch 720 to a double cork 1620 in just 12 years. In snowboarding, the Baker Road Gap grew from 40 feet to 187 feet in 15 years. What drives athletes like Danny Way to jump the Great Wall with a broken ankle, or Laird Hamilton to ride the Millennium Wave? The answer lies in flow, a state where the impossible becomes possible. Flow research originated in 1871 when geologist Albert Heim survived a near-fatal mountain fall. He experienced heightened senses, panoramic memory, time dilation, and unusual clarity, phenomena later confirmed by 95% of fall survivors. William James's research showed most people access only a fraction of their potential consciousness. Flow differs from other altered states through its creative problem-solving nature. The brain shifts from the explicit system, conscious, rule-based, to the implicit system, unconscious, intuitive, enabling unprecedented efficiency. EEG shows this as a transition from beta waves to low alpha, high theta waves, allowing split-second decisions. This state guided climber Dean Potter when he tackled Mount Fitzroy. Following the voice, an intuitive wisdom that emerges in flow, Potter achieved the unprecedented feat of free soloing the mountain in just 6.5 hours. Neuroscientist Arne Dietrich discovered that flow's unique characteristics, loss of self, time distortion, and heightened awareness, stem from transient hypofrontality. During flow, parts of the prefrontal cortex temporarily deactivate, redirecting energy from higher cognitive functions to enhance the tension. This process quiets our inner critic by dampening the dorsolateral prefrontal cortex's self-monitoring functions. Athletes benefit physically, as reduced conscious interference allows them to approach their true strength limits through natural painkillers and fewer mental restrictions. Flow's time dilation effect, which saved Potter during a parachute collapse, occurs when the brain shifts energy from temporal processing to heightened awareness. This allows faster data processing, stretching seconds into minutes during critical moments. The Red Bull Air Force team demonstrated flow's extraordinary pattern recognition during their Willis Tower wingsuit jump. Facing deadly obstacles, unpredictable winds, dangerous ledges, and suicide corner, a 110-degree turn at 150 miles an hour, they processed vast environmental data instantly, making life-saving adjustments within milliseconds. Flow's neurochemistry involves 5 performance-enhancing substances. Endorphins relieve pain and push physical limits. Anandamide elevates mood and lateral thinking while reducing fear. Norepinephrine sharpens focus. Dopamine enhances pattern recognition. And serotonin creates lasting afterglow effects. This neurochemical cocktail also accelerates social bonding through increased oxytocin and vasopressin. The Red Book Air Force demonstrated this effect, developing years' worth of interpersonal understanding in just 1 month. Team members could anticipate each other's movements with remarkable precision. Surprisingly, these sports have grown despite their dangers. When surfer Mark Fu died at Mavericks in 1994, rather than deterring risk-taking, big wave surfing exploded from fewer than 100 practitioners to thousands today. This pattern, repeated across action sports, challenges fundamental assumptions about human limits and potential. Traditional mastery requires supportive parents, deliberate practice, and delayed gratification. Yet action sports athletes often succeed without these advantages. Many were outsiders who simply pursued what they found fun rather than following rigid training regimens. Rather than delaying pleasure, they actively sought thrills. Their success comes from Flo's unique ability to bridge time perspectives. While Philip Zimbardo identified present hedonists and future-oriented individuals as opposing types, Flo allows present-focused individuals to achieve future goals while giving goal-oriented people relief from constant striving. Shane McConkie exemplifies this path. After mastering skydiving, he pioneered ski-based jumping from California's Lover's Leap and Switzerland's Eiger. His innovations weren't mere stunts. They transformed closeout lines, beautiful but deadly cliff-bordered terrain, into accessible routes through the use of parachutes, expanding his sports possibilities. While not exclusive to extreme sports, athletes have identified key external triggers that facilitate flow states. Rather than simply minimizing distractions, they leverage controlled exposure to risk, a biological shortcut into the zone. Our evolutionary wiring prioritizes threats above all else. Athletes use this by operating in high-consequence environments where real danger triggers performance-enhancing neurochemistry. As perceived risk increases, elevated norepinephrine and dopamine levels sharpen focus and capability. Two other crucial triggers are rich environment and deep embodiment. Rich environments combine novelty, unpredictability, and complexity, qualities abundant in nature through ever-changing rivers, weather conditions, and waves. Deep embodiment occurs through full-body sensory engagement, creating an information overload that bypasses conscious processing and accelerates entry into flow. Flow isn't just about performance. It's about living fully. When Mandy Ray Cruikshank began freediving, she evolved from a head case into a 7-time world record holder, diving 136 meters without breathing apparatus. At 300 feet underwater, present-moment awareness becomes inevitable, and that's when flow appears. The key triggers for flow include clear goals, immediate feedback, and the challenge-skill ratio. Stanford psychologist Carol Dweck found that athletes with growth mindsets accessed flow more readily because they could accurately assess their capabilities, essential for finding the sweet spot where challenges exceed skills by 4%. Flow operates in four parts. Struggle, where stress hormones flood our system as we work to master patterns. Release, where we disconnect from prior thought patterns. The flow state itself. And recovery, where energy replenishes and memory consolidates. These principles extend beyond extreme sports into business, education, and daily life. The true lesson from extreme athletes isn't their impossible feats. It's their ability to move through the entire flow cycle repeatedly, embracing struggle as much as the state itself. This is the path to extraordinary potential, dancing with difficulty purposefully.